Romans chapter 14. Okay. Romans chapter 14. And we're going to... Romans chapter 14. That was the trick you played on him, right? Okay. Romans chapter 14. We're going to continue our brief overview of the book of Romans this morning. And we're actually in the book of Romans chapter 14. And again, we're looking at the book of Romans from the perspective of helping a new believer get grounded in the faith. And so we're not going extensively verse by verse in great detail through the book of Romans. Rather, we're just hitting some highlights out of each chapter so that as you sit down with a new believer, you understand what needs to be conveyed to them. Look with me then at Romans chapter 14 and start at verse 1. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we can take and look into your word this morning, and we do ask for insight and wisdom so that we would have the discernment that this passage teaches us about how to deal in situations and how to handle situations when there are weaker and stronger brethren present. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Actually, as you start here in chapter 14 and you go all the way through the first part of chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, if you look back at verse 1, he says, "Him that is weak in the faith." The Apostle Paul is going to bring up the doctrine of dealing with our Christian liberty. And he does so under what you would refer to, the easiest way to refer to here is what he calls the idea of the weaker brother or sister, or the stronger, again, brother, sister, okay? Okay, what we want to do first then is we want to make sure that we have a basic understanding of what the Apostle Paul means by the weaker brother, and therefore, he doesn't actually use the term stronger, but obviously that's the comparison here, okay? So you've got the weaker brother and the stronger brother. In the context is going to help us understand what he means by and therefore how to define or identify somebody who is a weaker brother. And he does it under two categories. Look back at verse 1 again. "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things... Another who is weak..." Okay, what does this guy do? I'm going to change this around just a little bit. Let's do it this way. You've got the one who is weak, and the other guy, obviously, strong. When he talks about weak and strong, he's talking about weak and strong in relationship to what? the faith. Okay, so it's weak and strong in relationship to the faith. When we say the faith, what do we mean by the faith? What faith? Just believe in God? What's that? Yeah, sound doctrine. The faith of what God is doing in this dispensation. Obviously, both of these individuals believe in God. Both of these individuals have some basic information about God that they're believing. Fundamentally, when he compares the weak and the strong here, he does it under two categories. The first category has to do with that which you can eat or not eat. He says at verse 2, "For one believeth that he may eat all things." Which guy is that? What's that? That's the strong one. How do you know that's the strong one? Well, because in the verse it says, "Another who is weak eats herbs." Okay, so this guy over here, his view is what? The guy who is weak in the faith with regard to food, what is his view? Yeah, see, he's back in a prior dispensation. He's even back before the law. Why do we say that? But he's even back before that. What's that? There you go. See, this guy, he obviously believes in God. He believes that God is the creator. He believes that God is the provider. But this guy believes that you're only supposed to eat herbs. Well, who was given those instructions? Adam and Eve. And when did God say that man then could go and eat meat? When? But remember? After the flood. So remember, for the first couple of thousand years of human history, really the instructions as far as God was concerned was, yeah, just I've given you all the herbs, all the fruit of the trees, vegetables, that type of thing, and that's for your sustenance. So what's interesting is that this individual, he's not camped back in the law necessarily. He just is in a different dispensation. That's the point. The guy that's weak in the faith is the guy who's biblical. He's just in the wrong dispensation in what he thinks God is doing in this dispensation. All right. By contrast, the guy over here thinks that you can eat what? All things. Okay. Now, which one is an accurate view of what God says is okay today? That guy over there. What verse would you go to demonstrate that? A guy can eat. What's that? Anybody know? What's that? Yeah, okay, I thought you said 1 Corinthians. Yeah, 1 Timothy. Look over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Notice verse 3. It says this: "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." What truth? Well, the truth of how God is operating in this dispensation, the instructions God has given for this dispensation. Verse 4, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." So when a believer has an understanding of how God is operating today in this dispensation, then when he gives thanks for his food, literally, you know, you say, "Lord, thank you for this food that we have today by your goodness." But in giving thanks for that food, that you can eat anything, you are also acknowledging that God is doing something different in this dispensation than the previous dispensations. That's why he links together if you give thanks in prayer and so forth. It's an actual acknowledgement. When you eat things today that Israel couldn't eat back then, for example, or even that Adam and Eve couldn't eat back then, and you eat it and you eat it by faith, you are actually saying, "Lord, I recognize that in this dispensation, you don't care what I eat. I can eat anything." And it's an acknowledgement of faith of what God is doing. So this guy over here understands that you can eat all things. Fundamentally, what's the difference between the two viewpoints? The guy that says you can eat only herbs, and the guy that says you can eat all things. Fundamentally, what's the difference? What's that? Fundamentally, the difference is a dispensational difference, right? That's what it is. It's a recognition that God is doing something different in this dispensation as compared to what He had done previously in multiple dispensations, okay? Not just the law, because like I said, this guy in the herbs, he's actually way back before the law. Kind of interesting. Now that's the first category. The first category is something as simple as dietary instructions. All right? Now look at the next thing he brings up here. You want to go back to Romans chapter 14. Okay. Now verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. That's kind of tricky to read, isn't it? Okay. For God hath received him. The verse I'm looking for is, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Okay, question. Which of the two is going to esteem one day above another? That's the law. What would that one day above another be? The Sabbath. Okay, so again, that's obviously the weak guy. So this is under the category... this is the law here, okay, the law keeping. And this is the ordinances. That kind of thing, okay? This guy says that there's one day, Sabbath, above the other. What does this guy over here say? He says there is no difference anymore, okay? All days alike, okay? Okay, fundamentally, again, what's the difference? The dispensational difference. The difference is not that you can't go in the Bible and find that one day is above another, because can you find that? Absolutely. The Sabbath day. What's that? Passover. Yeah. Look at all the feast days. In Israel's system, they didn't have just the normal Sabbath. They would have a lot of Sabbaths connected with the various feast days, like Passover, unleavened bread, etc. So this guy here, in this category, where is he living? He's living under the law. His view is that he's still in that Old Testament program. The guy over here that's stronger, he understands that, well, no, that thing's passed away. Okay, that's not where we're at today. That's God isn't dealing with us on the basis of that. So when you look at both things that Paul brings up, whether it's the category of what you can eat or not eat, and what you need to observe or not observe, the problem that the guy has that is weak is that he just has not been brought up to speed yet with what God is doing. The perspective that you see Paul giving here is that this guy that's weak has got a right attitude towards the Word. He just has not been taught properly yet. Now that's huge, recognizing that difference. The guy in Romans 14 that is weak in the faith is not a guy that's going around actively putting you under the law. That's not the guy who's weak in the faith. This guy in Romans chapter 14, the guy is not a heretic. A guy who's a heretic after the first and second admonition, so you've tried to admonish the guy and so forth. The guy that's a heretic, he says after the first and second admonition, reject that guy. Paul doesn't say to reject this guy. So you got to understand this in Romans chapter 14 when he talks about a guy that is weak in the faith. He's not talking about, for example, somebody in a leadership capacity that is putting you and his local assembly back under a former dispensation. Rather, the guy in Romans chapter 14 that's weak in the faith is the guy who's got a right heart attitude towards the Word, but just hasn't been taught properly yet or has not come to see yet the things of the dispensation of God's grace. Everybody see the difference there? Do you see the difference there? Go ahead.
It's kind of like the strong guy would be equally as wrong if he thought by doing the right thing would make him a better, more loved by God.
That's true. Yeah. If what Ken mentioned is if the guy who is quote unquote strong, if he thinks that by doing these various things, he could be better in the eyes of God. Well, see, he's also misunderstanding. Is that kind of what you're saying? All right. Before we go on, let's do it this way. Go to Romans chapter 16. Do it this way. Look at Romans 16. Look at Romans 16, verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17 says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and do what? Now look back to Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, what? Wait a minute, is that a contradiction? Romans chapter 14, verse 1 tells us to receive someone. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says to mark and avoid someone. What's the difference? See, in both categories, in both Romans 14 and Romans 16, the people that are involved don't understand the proper dispensational setting. So why does he tell us in Romans 14 to receive one guy, but to mark and avoid the other guy? Isn't that, it's like, come on, Paul, make up your mind. Go ahead. That, see, everybody see the difference there? The guy in Romans 14 is not out actively causing offenses and divisions by actively disagreeing with and preaching against the dispensation, the correct dispensation of viewpoint. See the difference there? Whereas the guy in Romans 14, that's the guy I did say, right? Yeah. The guy in Romans 14 is not out actively promoting information against the proper dispensation of viewpoint. Whereas the guy in Romans 16 is, he's causing divisions and offenses because he's actively teaching against, you know, right division. Everybody have any, I see some puzzle looks out there. Do we need to clarify this? It would be a leader that's teaching, but it doesn't just have to be a leader that's teaching. It could be anybody in any local assembly that you know, you've attempted to show the truth of God's Word to him and so forth, and he is just against it. See, if you've got a positive heart attitude towards the Word of God, then when truth is presented to you, what are you going to do with it? You're going to be receptive to it. Why? Because you have a positive heart attitude towards the Word of God. But on the other hand, if you don't have that positive heart attitude towards the Word of God, and somebody comes along and presents you, and they say, you know, actually, in the dispensation of grace, you can really eat all things. Look what it says over here in First Timothy chapter 4. And so you take them over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the guy says, no way, we can only eat herbs. And God originally, his original intent was just to eat herbs. And that's important and so forth. And we've got to stay back there. Well, see, there's somebody who, at least for that moment, his heart is not open to the Word of God. Their heart's not open to the Word of God. Somebody comes along and he says, you know, you need to observe the Sabbath. You need to be under the law. And you say, well, over here, Romans 14, it says that we're not under the law, but under grace. The law's passed away. We live under grace and so forth. And they say, no, God gave the Sabbath a whole lot longer ago than he ever gave Romans 6:14. You've got to keep under the law. Well, see, there's a guy whose heart's attitude is not proper towards the Word of God. On the other hand, you've got a guy that says, hey, we're supposed to be keeping the law today because, see, it says back here in the book of Exodus and so forth, the Lord Jesus Christ said, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I've come to destroy but fulfill and so forth. And you say, well, have you ever thought about the Apostle Paul? He's talking about that we're not under the law, but under grace. We live in the new dispensation. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? And you begin to talk to them about Paul's ministry. And you say, you know, I never thought of it that way. Huh, that's interesting. Now, there is somebody whose heart is a little bit different towards the Word of God. See the difference there? So the guy in Romans chapter 14 is not a guy in Romans 16. Either a leader of a local assembly or a guy who is actively opposing Paul's ministry. There were plenty of people like that, right, in Paul's day. There was more than the other, okay? On the other hand, the guy in Romans 14 is a guy who is, what he knows, he's faithful to, he just doesn't know enough. Now, does anybody know an example of that through the book of Acts, a little bit later in the book of Acts? An example, what's that? Apollos is exactly an illustration of this. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 18. An example of somebody who was, as far as what he knew, he was faithful to it, but he just didn't know enough. He wasn't brought up to speed yet, okay? Look with me to Acts, chapter number 18, and look at verse 24. Acts 18:24 says this. It says, And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. I mean, that sounds pretty good so far. He's eloquent in the Word of God. He's instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Okay, now, can you find any fault with this guy? You certainly can't, as far as his heart intention, as far as his motive, as far as his genuineness, as far as his zeal. There's nothing at all said negative about his motive, his intent, his desire. It's just his doctrine's not quite up to speed. That's all. Okay? And so what happens, it says at verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So this guy's, fearless, you know. Who when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, what did Aquila and Priscilla do with this guy, with Apollos? Who taught Aquila and Priscilla? Paul did. So what does Aquila and Priscilla now do with Apollos here? What's that?
Gave him an upgrade,
right. You know, you go on the computer and you upgrade the software, right? The latest upgrade. That was good. That's what they do. They give him an upgrade. They say, to Apollos, say, what you're teaching is fantastic. It's just, Apollos, there's been some advancements. There's been some updates on the software and everything. Isn't that fascinating? Now, what does Apollos do? What's that? He believes him. So what does that tell you about Apollos' heart towards the Word of God? Completely, this guy's heart is open to the Word. The Word is his authority. Isn't that fascinating? You don't have any indication here that Apollos fought them or stood against them or rejected them. Everything is just the opposite. So there's a sense in which Apollos was an example of somebody who was, quote unquote, weak in the faith. Somebody who, as far as what he did know, it was good, it was accurate, it just wasn't up to speed yet. And he was faithful to what he knew. The guy back in Romans 14, Apollos was further along than the guy in Romans 14. I think I said Acts 14, but Apollos is a little further along. But you see the principle here. Apollos was not out actively opposing Paul's ministry. He was preaching what he knew. Aquila and Priscilla bring him up to speed, and then he goes and preaches that. Isn't that fascinating? In fact, Apollos actually becomes quite instrumental in a number of the assemblies, certainly at Corinth, but a number of the assemblies with the Apostle Paul. And look at what it says here, verse 27. You're still in Acts 18:27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through what? Through grace. Isn't that fascinating? So here's a guy that didn't initially start off as a quote-unquote, mid-Acts dispensation grace believer, is brought up to speed to that, and then he's actually assisting in an assembly that was originally the grace believers. Isn't that fascinating? Which tells you it can't happen, right? Not everybody's going to reject the message, right? All right, so you get a good idea of what it means to be somebody who's weak in the faith, although, again, Apollos is quite further along than these guys as compared to somebody strong in the faith. Now, go back to Romans chapter 14. Any questions so far? Go ahead. Okay, yeah, and what we want to do is we actually want to say, well, what about this situation? Because this is all real practical stuff here, right? So what about water baptism? What would be some other issues? What about somebody who... Let's see, let's do it this way. Let's put some categories here. You know what? Let's do it this way. You have water baptism, right? What would be another question?
Circumcision.
Okay, circumcision. Good. What else?
Healing.
We already saw the issue of the law, right? One guy observed, but we need to put that back up there. How about the law? How about the law and the Sabbath? Okay, what else? What would be some other ones?
Tithing.
And that'll actually come under this one here, right? Tithing. Okay, communion. What else? Well, what are some other questions that are going to come up? How about, again, the sacrifices that would be under the law, right? Did somebody say confession? That's a big one there, confession. And really all of these are big ones when you think about it, okay? Maybe not so much offering sacrifices, but they have other kinds of sacrifices, right? What else? What are some other big ones you talk about? Okay, so let's just kind of go down the list here. Let's see what the Word of God, first of all, tells us to do in relationship to Him that is weak in either one of any of these categories. The doctrine of circumcision, doctrine of water baptism, healing, the law, Sabbath keeping, tithing, sacrifices, those are kind of one group. And really, these kind of all go together, right, when you think about it. Communion, confession, tongues, that was the other one, the sign gifts, okay? Calvinism, okay? Those would be some good ones there. And you can fill this list in, you know, for the rest of your life, you're going to see things that people are going to be disputing over, right? But that certainly is a representative list there. The gospel.
The rapture.
Okay, the rapture. All right, things like that. Okay. Once again, how do you define somebody that's, quote unquote, weak in the faith? What is it? What does that mean? What's that? Okay, somebody who's weak in the faith is somebody who is in the faith, so they're a saved person. But they've not been brought up to speed yet with the dispensation in which we live, in which they live. So number one, it's a person in the faith. He's a saved guy. He or she's a saved guy, girl, whatever. All right? And what they do know, they're true to it because it's Scripture. The one who ate herbs, that's Bible. The one who observed one day, that's Bible. It's just that they're not in the proper dispensation. So they're biblical, they're just not scriptural. They're biblical, scriptural, just not dispensational, right? So safe person, they're scriptural, it's just that they're not in the proper dispensation. There's another thing we said about them, and that is, remember, that they're not the guy in Romans 16, verse 17, that's actively opposing what God is doing. They're more like Apollos. Okay, so, let's say you're talking to an unsaved guy or girl about the gospel. Are you now dealing with the Romans 14 issue?
No,
why not? Because it's not a saved guy or girl. Let's say you're talking to an unsaved person about whether or not they should be keeping the law or confessing their sins. Is it a Romans 14 issue? No, because it's not a saved person. That's a Romans 3 issue. So on your list, a lot of times that's going to eliminate some of those things in terms of whether or not it's a Romans 14 issue. We're trying to discern, is this a Romans 14 issue? Let's shift gears. Let's say it is a saved guy or girl. And and let's talk about the gospel. Let's say it's a guy who's truly saved, and you ask them to clarify their understanding about salvation. And yeah, they say, I'm trusting in the blood of Christ alone. Christ died for my sins, buried and rose again. I believed that. I trusted that. So they don't give you all the confusion about, you know, I asked you this into my heart, that type of thing. And so you say, well, great, wonderful. That means you're my sister, you're my brother in Christ. And isn't it good to know that we're not under the law, but under grace? And they said, yeah, that's good. But, you know, really, we're supposed to observe the law because God gave the law to teach us as guide for our life. So are you at a Romans 14 issue now?
Yes.
Yes, now you are. You're at a Romans 14 issue. So what does he say? Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, what's it say there? Receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. What does Paul teach the Romans to do here? First thing, if it's a Romans 14 issue, you know what he says? What'd you say? Grace. Somebody said grace. If you're trying to move this If you're trying to move this guy from law to grace, well then, move him from law to grace. And you don't do that by condemning him. All too often, what we tend to do, and listen, I know by first-hand experience, I'm really guilty of this. You know, over the years and everything, and I've really had to kind of... You never want to water down the doctrine, but sometimes you want to temper, right? you're attacking the guy. Sometimes we find somebody who professes to be a believer, and they're still trusting in water baptism. They're still not for salvation, they say, and they're still speaking in tongues and everything. They think you got to keep the law, and you know what, man? It's just your job to correct everything that they ever thought was. You know what I'm saying? You just got to. And Paul says, no. That's not how you're going to help reach this person. You know, it just to bombard them with verses usually is not the best way to reach. You know, the old saying, you don't want to. If somebody just needs a drink of water, don't feed them with the fire hose, right? Just give them a little drink of water. Ask questions, like that's what Paul does. So the first thing he says here is receive him, but not to doubtful disputations. Just think about our own human nature. If we've got some viewpoints about things, some convictions about things, and somebody comes along with a different viewpoint, a conviction, and they just blast us with their viewpoint, what's the normal thing that we tend to do anyway? We tend to defend our position, hold our ground type of thing, instead of open up. So the first thing he says here, and again, if it's a Romans 14 issue, these aren't all Romans 14 issues. But if it is a Romans chapter 14 issue, the first thing Paul says is receive him, but not to doubt through disputations. All right? Keep reading. He says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So this guy here that's strong is not supposed to despise the weak guy, right? And let not him which eateth not, this guy, the weak guy, is not supposed to judge the strong guy. He's not supposed to put him under the law. It says, for God has received him. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. I got to tell you, many, many times in talking with people, after a conversation I've had with them about, you know, right division, and they're, you know, they got some weird thinking about it and so forth. In my own mind, I've just had to say, well, Lord, you say to his own master he stands or falls. You just have to say that and then move on. A lot of times you'll be talking with people on a lot of these different issues, and you'll show them the verses, and sometimes there seems to be open door there and sometimes not. And you just say, well, Lord, to his own master, he stands or falls. Next, you know, who's the next guy I can talk to? So, is the gospel, can the gospel be a Romans 14 issue? Do you know what I mean by that question? Could the clarity of the gospel be a Romans 14 issue? How? What's that? There you go. So it could be a saved person because it's somebody in the faith, but they've been taught all the wrong jargon. They've been taught, invite Jesus into your heart. They've been taught, make him Lord of your life. So there's somebody who, you know, you'll have an opportunity with and maybe clarify a few issues with them and for them. Okay? How about the issue of the rapture? Could that be a Romans 14 issue? Sure. How? How could the doctrine of the rapture be a Romans 14 issue? Yeah, exactly. Here's a guy. This would come under the category of he esteems one day above another. This guy is still under the law program. He thinks that's where he's at, so he doesn't understand the timing of the rapture issue. He's not opposing the rapture. He just hasn't been taught it accurately. The big key to ask when you ask the question, is this a Romans 14 issue? You want to ask, okay, is this person I'm talking to, is this somebody actively opposing the message? If they are, then that's a Romans 16 verse 17 issue. But if this is a friend that you meet at work, a co-worker, that type of thing, and they're a believer, and they seem to have a good heart towards the Word, and you ask them, hey, what did you learn last Sunday at church? And they say, well, I learned that we're going to go through the tribulation period and so forth, and it's gotten me a little nervous. And you ask them, you say, well, that's interesting. Now, why did the preacher say you were going to go through the tribulation period? And they say, well, he went right to the verses in Matthew 24 and 25. You know, one's taken and one's left. The guy that is taken the destruction. The guy that's left is left to go through the tribulation period. So we're going to go through it. Well, at least they taught that passage right, by the way. right? But they came and brought that upon the body of Christ. So you say to that person, well, did you know that the Apostle Paul actually speaks about the body of Christ being caught away before that time? You say, I never heard that. I didn't know that. Or they might say something like, well, I heard about that, but I never read that before. So you take them over. That's a Romans 14 issue. Well, how about some of these others? How about water baptism? Can water baptism ever be a Romans 14 issue? Absolutely. All of these issues potentially can be a Romans 14 issue. Now, they're not always a Romans 14 issue. What makes the difference? When does it become a Romans 16, verse 17? When you got somebody who is actively out promoting against the truth of these issues. See the difference there? All right. Anybody have any questions? How about the issue of confession of sins? A good friend of ours, and actually Lori's and so forth, we've had lots of Bible studies with and everything in the past, and you know, come to understand some things about mid-act dispensationalism and confession of sins, and what they keep saying to you, what about confession of sins? You just can't let go of it. Yeah. So, you know, there's like, you're kind of hanging on to that stuff, you know. That's not someone who is actively rejecting or preaching against it. Rather, that's somebody who is kind of fighting against it personally in their own struggle with the Lord, you know. What's that?
They don't understand Romans 6.
That's right. Yeah, they really don't understand Romans 6. Yeah, okay. How about the issue of the sign gifts? That would be under healing and so forth. Could that be a Romans 14 issue? Very much so. How about the issue of Calvinism? Could Calvinism be a Romans 14 issue? It very much could be. Again, all of these things here on this list could potentially be Romans 14 issues, but they're not always that. They absolutely, absolutely correct. All of these issues could also potentially be a Romans 16 verse 17 issue. Right? See that?
Anything that's not sound doctrine, basically.
Anything that is not sound doctrine, when you're talking to somebody, that person's attitude towards sound doctrine, towards the truth, is going to identify for you whether or not it's you deal with it on the basis of Romans 14 or Romans 16. Isn't that fascinating? Let's go. Any questions? Go ahead, Bray.
Yeah, these churches, like the Pentecostals or whatever, these people are taught these things.
Yes, yes.
And so now the people that are taught these things try to convince other people that they're right.
That's right. That's a very good question. And again, for those listening on the internet, the comment and question is basically this. Let's say that people that are in the various, say, charismatic or Pentecostal churches, or just other churches in general, all right, they're being taught a particular position from their assembly. And so as the individuals in those churches, if they're just out, you know, maybe wanting to have a family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study, they're inviting people over and so forth, and so they're teaching, say, that position. Well, then, is it a Romans 14 or a Romans 16 issue? Is it a receive Him kind of an issue, or is it a mark and avoid Him kind of issue? How would you decide?
Or even just at work.
Or even at work. That's exactly right. Okay, so how would you decide?
Because one
knows
the difference.
Okay. Okay, as a general rule of thumb, the average person in the local assembly, they're not out actively promoting false doctrine in the sense of being against true doctrine. So, just kind of as a general thought, if it's the guy who's the preacher or the elder of the assembly, he's the Sunday school teacher or whatever, and he's in a leadership position, then, you know, you're going to want to run some verses past him and say, well, what about this verse or this scripture? You know, have you given much thought to in this dispensation of grace? Teach with questions. And if you find somebody who's really opposing that, then you know you got a guy that's more interested in his religious position than he is in the truth of God's Word. So that's, you find out, you know, okay, then we're dealing with somebody who that's leaning more towards a Romans 16 type of a Romans 16, verse 17. On the other hand, if it's somebody just in the local assembly and they're, you know, they're interested in the Word of God, they're interested in others coming and understand Christ as their Savior, they want to have a home Bible study or even a Bible study at work and everything, and maybe they've never heard right division. And so you begin to ask them a few questions and they say, well, that sure doesn't sound like what I've been taught. I'll give it some thought, you know, but boy, so there's some initial hesitancy towards it, but there's not complete rejection of it. Now you see, really the key is it takes discernment, doesn't it? It really takes some discernment to kind of think through, well, where is this person coming from? What's his real... Go ahead. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Did they do know? Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so from man's point of view, always a good Christian. But from God's point of view,
that's very good. Look over, hold Romans 14 and go to 1 Corinthians 8. And I realize that clock is broken up there, so I'm over time here. All right. But real quick, watch this. Here's a principle to keep in mind. And Romans 14 goes together with 1 Corinthians 8. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Okay, now look at the next sentence there. It says what? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. There's the goal. If we're trying to talk to somebody about the Bible just so they can be impressed with our knowledge about the Bible, what do you call that? We're just puffed up in the flesh. Right? And sometimes you'll talk with people like that. They just want to impress with you with how much they know about the Bible. And that's not our goal. Rather, charity edifies. So we want our goal to be, you know, can I help edify this brother or sister? Or another question is, can that brother or sister edify me? Somebody said before, and it's been said many times, in any given situation, any one of us could be either the weak or the stronger brother or sister. Isn't that interesting? And if we keep that in mind, then it'll keep our heart in check. So that if we have an opportunity to talk with somebody and find out, okay, maybe in this context, they're the weaker, and you know a little bit more, but since your desire is to edify, then you're not puffed up. In another context, you talk to somebody and go, wow, this guy spent some time on the Word of God. I got some questions for that person. You know? And all of a sudden, now you're in this category and they're over here, and they've got a good heart attitude, and so you can actually learn something. See that? Okay, we're over time. We'll pick up back in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 next time. And again, read through that, because it should really bring up some questions. I don't think that clock's right. That's...